And sometimes people are just there, you know, and it's, I try to tell myself that it's not, it's like, do you want tea or coffee? And they're like, I'm not thirsty. And you're like, okay, that's not on your tea and coffee. This has nothing to do with what flavor tea you have or whether or not you did cold brew. It's just they're not thirsty. So,
Man, that's good.
but it doesn't feel that way sometimes,
No.
but that's the way it is.
Speaking of which, you are a coffee drinker, right?
I was.
Oh, you were. Okay.
That's the saddest thing.
Why'd you quit?
COVID. Can I say that?
Hi, it's your old friend Dan Smith, the host of Coffee in Space. I'm trying out a new format today. Give it a listen and let me know what you think. Comments at coffeeinspacepodcast.com. Once again, let me know what you think. Comments at coffeeinspacepodcast.com. My guest today is Kathy McCrum. She's been on the show before. You remember this back in December of 21 for episode 67. I've put a link in the show notes for that episode for those who are new to the show and are familiar with Kathy. It's hard to believe that I've had 40 episodes since that discussion. I hope you've enjoyed them as much as I've enjoyed making them for you. Kathy is the author of two novels now. Of course, you remember Recorder, which we talked about on episode 67. Her follow-up to that debut novel is called Aberration, which follows the story of a former recorder as she seeks clarity about her situation and hopes to protect those she loves. I really like this story. I like its concept a lot. I've enjoyed what I've read. And so I'm excited to bring you Kathy McCrum, author of Aberration.
So after I got the plague, about 3 months later, my sense of smell went really off. I opened a bag of coffee and I smelled it and I thought, oh, this one's off. And I threw it out. So I opened a new one and I'm like, oh, this one's off too. And then I realized it's not the coffee.
Oh,
it's
no.
Me. And it's been over a year since I have enjoyed a cup of coffee.
I'm so sad for you.
Yeah, it was one of my favorite things. And it was actually kind of hard because I'd already written Aberration. I was working on book three. And there's one of my characters, he loves coffee. He just drinks it black, coffee, anything mm-hmm. coffee. Mm-hmm. Actually, I have several coffee drinkers. And one that drinks milk and sugar and then adds coffee to it. but I didn't realize how much the coffee itself was a mood setter for me when I was writing.
I believe it.
So today, my beverage of choice today is chai.
That's good. There's no shame there.
Yeah.
Chai is, I'm sure, a very popular writer's, especially in like a coffee or a tea house, a drink for.
Oh, yes. And the nice thing is I can still taste it.
Yeah,
so I can't taste a lot of teas.
You know, the crazy thing is, and I got mine back, although I think there is still some things messed up. But in 2021, I was trying to drink. I just made a cup of coffee. I was on deployment and I tasted it. And I'm like, oh, man, I made a bad batch.
See?
And then I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah.
And I ran and got some mouthwash and I swished it around and nothing. It was the craziest, most surreal experience in the world to have,
because you know
coffee
what it tastes
and then
like.
Mouthwash and to be just like, yeah. It wasn't even like swishing water around. Even in water, there is a flavor of a kind, even mm-hmm. in water. And there was just, oh, it was so scary.
Yeah.
And it took a while to get it back. There was for about a week, I would drink coffee just because I knew I needed the caffeine. I wasn't ready to go out. I should have just gone off caffeine during that time, but I didn't. But I know exactly what you're talking about. Folks, as I said during the introduction, this is Kathy McCrum. She is a twice published author and with two novels in the same series. And we'll talk about those here in a few minutes. Kathy's been on the show before. And so I'll link to the episode that she previously joined me on. And we had a great talk then. I don't expect us to have anything less than a great talk now. We're already having it. But I am excited about this. The thing that we talked about, or one of the big things, the themes we came out of with our first interview, our first chat, was the science fiction with a heart. And I remember, I think that was the first time I had ever heard it when you mentioned it on my show. And you know, of course, now it's on your website and everything. So this isn't new to you, that statement, but it was new to me at the time. And I remember thinking as we were going through the discussion on The Recorder, your first novel, and your own passions, that it made perfect sense that you wrote science fiction with a heart. And folks, if you ever talk to Kathy for any length of time, you'll see that come through. So for those reasons, for just general chat, and because of her writing, I'm happy to have her back on the show today.
I'm glad and to be here. It's fun.
I'm glad that you did not say no thanks on the second one after the first one. So that makes me feel pretty good. So that's awesome.
No, it's great talking to you.
That's fun. Good. So so we've already covered coffee in space on this by discussing COVID.
Sorry. Folks,
yeah, it's okay. I'm sad for you still, and I probably will be sad for you for some time. And should you get that flavor back, if you need someone to celebrate with, I will celebrate. So, folks, you're going to notice that there's a little bit of change to the format. You notice first that I did the introduction of the guest offline. And then, you know, I brought Kathy in. We talked about coffee right off the bat. I want you to know where the coffee sits as far as the guest is concerned. Yes, very much so, even if it's absent in this case. And then we're going to just kind of introduce Kathy, but not in a way that just says, hey, Kathy, tell me about yourself. We're going to talk through questions to get to know Kathy, and then we will go into her stories. The first question I want to ask you in order to get to know you better is, besides writing great stories, what is something you're passionate about?
Well, that's kind of a weird question for me, just because there's just, I'm kind of ADD about a lot of things, and I'm all over the place. But I have to say, I might be an introvert, but I'm really passionate about people. People are fascinating. They're unique. There's no one whose story doesn't matter. You might feel like it doesn't matter, but all you have to do is find that one way of like asking the question, and then suddenly there's this explosion of meaning and importance and vibrancy that in anyone that I've talked to. So that might not be, other than that, I used to say coffee. Can't say that.
Oh my gosh. I was just going to say
that. It's going to be the theme. I'm sorry.
It might be, yeah.
I love nature and the world. I love going out and haven't done it much lately. Been holed up writing, to be quite honest. But there's just something magical about being outside, and I would go for a walk around the lake that's near our house, and it'd be snowing and nobody else is out because everybody else is sane and is home drinking coffee and hot chocolate. But just walking in the silence with just the crunch of the snow under your feet and the flakes drifting down to melt on your skin, and just that blanket of silence, there's just something. It's like being inside a poem. I don't know if I'm... Wow,
that's deep. It's like being inside a poem. I like that.
So, you know, I like words.
Yeah, I can. I mean, you know, two novels and whatnot. But so I took my daughter. She had an event in downtown Norfolk where we live, or we live in the area, the Norfolk area in Virginia, mm-hmm. not England. and we were, so she was doing a drama presentation down there. And so I took my laptop with me. I was like, I'm going to work on my novel. And I sat down at a coffee shop, not to be named. And I was enjoying a cup of coffee and trying to write. And my thing talking about either nature or people, is that I get busy watching people interact with each other. And so, I end up usually not getting anything really done. Even if I put myself in a corner area where there's no good view, the few people who come into view, I'm going to be wondering what their life story is and, you know, where are they headed and what are they doing? And I end up not getting any work done. So I have to like shut the blinds in my own home and do my writing that way. I don't know how you are, but.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a night owl by nature.
Ah,
that's good. But I also have older children at home still, and that's, in case anybody doesn't know, that's when they come out to talk.
It's true.
It's true. So I've started getting up at like 3 or 4 in the morning to try to write, because with the with my attention flashing all over the place all the time, it's very difficult to sit down and narrow my focus into the world and let myself sink into it so that the characters come alive and the settings come alive. And they, so yeah, I totally get that. I don't write well in coffee shops. I can talk in coffee shops. So,
yeah,
but no, I get
I understand that. So the passions of nature, of people and coffee, may it rest in peace. How did those passions filter through your mind into the story?
I'm going to talk about the nature thing first, because it's kind of funny, because most of the trilogy has been inside a man-made environment. But there's always some aspect that I can usually, well, not always, but there's usually an aspect of nature that I can pull out. I found that my main character, the recorder, she's not used to a natural world. I've often toyed with like just like a sandbox story. Do you know what I mean by that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So like taking her and just putting her somewhere else just for fun. Yeah. And so I put her on the planet, the Earth type planet that's in the system. And I didn't expect her to freak out that there was no dome. Mm-hmm. She was okay on the surface of the moon with the skies and the heavens overhead, because she's in a suit. And I didn't realize that being unprotected in nature would be an alarming feeling for her. So I pulled her back out and I put her back in the world she's more comfortable in. I want people to be able to read it and see some of themselves in it. My main character is, I would say, flirting with the edge of not being neurotypical. Although really, what is that? Since it's all a spectrum anyway, it's like where in the floating orb of space of typical or atypical behavior are you in? But it was really important to me that there was a variety of people and that they all felt real. One of my problems with this is that I have oodles and oodles, as my dad used to say, of stories, because I want to know where the people are and where what they're doing and stuff. The beginning of the second book was very difficult to write, because I knew where they were going to be and I knew what had happened, but I knew 19 of the people on that ship. I know their names, I know their families, I know their education, I know their hobbies, and I'm like, but I can't do that to them.
Yeah.
And that sounds so silly. Well, maybe it doesn't to other authors.
Well, I think it doesn't sound silly to me, a fellow introvert, either. Like, how, you only got so many friends, and how could you possibly, you know, put them in danger? And I don't know about extroverts, if they really feel this way. I mean, you know, my daughter used to make friends wherever she went. Like, I mean, especially with the military moving us all the time. So, but yeah, I can see that both as a writer and as an introvert. It's like, I don't have tons of them. I got to be careful with the ones I got.
Yeah. And the people, when I'm writing them, I think that my passions for people filter through, because my characters become almost real to me. I mentioned that I just was binge writing book 3, and I didn't expect to be sad when it was over. I expected this huge rush of like, oh, it's done, thank you. That's what I expected. And that lasted for 45 minutes to an hour. And then I was just sad. It was like my friends had moved away, because I come to know these characters so well.
So, and this can be an off offline question that I can delete, but is book three it?
As far as I know.
Okay. Kathy, tell me something that would be better about the world if it was changed.
This world?
Yeah. I figured if it was in your world, you'd just change it. So what?
No, actually, I probably wouldn't.
Oh, we leave a little conflict.
Well, no, because one of the things that gets to me is that when I write, I let my characters kind of fight their way through things.
Right.
And there's never going to be a utopia. One thing that would be better about this world if it were changed is, honestly, I'd get rid of cancer. That's my snap the fingers. It's gone.
Yeah.
It's probably not. That's something that's very personal for me. Mm-hmm. But it's probably, you know, it's not going to fix, you know, politics and war and by getting rid of cancer or conversely, not conversely, it's the wrong word. Either that or finding homes for children.
Yeah.
Because that would make the world better. If children could all be safe. But mm-hmm. this is a world with people that make mistakes, sometimes honest ones. And sometimes they're bad people. And there's I wouldn't want to take away free will. But getting rid of cancer and this is my bonus. Yeah. and finding homes for the children.
Yeah.
That would be.
I think there's no way the world wouldn't be better if either of those two things could happen. That is insightful. Thank you for that. Let's turn our attention a little bit more directly to the stories. I'm going to read a little bit off of for a synopsis to kind of get us going here. So first of all, this is a two book series so far. And you mentioned you just finished book three, writing it. There's two books here. So, that's a reason for the listener to go back to go to the show notes. There's a link in there for Kathy's first interview. Because it'll be important to kind of understand the whole thing. I would say it's not impossible to read Aberration without reading Recorder, but I don't know that you'd want to. But let me go on and read about Aberration here. When rogue drones threaten citizens and the ship's crew falls ill, the Recorder answers their call for help, once again drawing scrutiny from the consortium. With no other option and under an elder's overbearing watch, she returns to Palace Station where she nearly lost her life in the hope of finding something, anything, to save her friends and countless others. Her friends are determined to keep her safe, but for the Recorder, saving others comes first, no matter the cost. And I'd just like first to get your thoughts. Like, I know you're like, well, I wrote it, so I kind of know. But like, when you hear this, whether you wrote that copy or not for the synopsis, but when you hear this in your own mind, what feeling as the author comes out of your heart?
First off, and this is going to sound a little bit like snarky, but it's not supposed to be. I'm like, did I write that? That sounds cool. The thing that gets to me is that she puts other people first. That's who she is.
Yeah.
And sometimes to her own detriment. And I think that's probably one of the parts of me, not that I've been anywhere near her situation, thankfully.
Well, you'd have to be on a spaceship out in the middle of space.
And heading towards the moon with undesirable insect life.
Yep.
But she sees people as people. And she wants them to be okay. I think that's, I don't know if that's exactly what you were asking.
I don't know if it was or not, but it's what I wanted. So it works. As you talk about that, one of the things that I think becomes very evident for the reader is just how much her desire to help others comes through. Like, there's almost, I mean, she understands her own situation, but there is almost an oblivious feeling and or a mindset that all she's really trying to do is just get to the next step of helping the humanity, but those that she has come to love. And I think that shines through really well in the story. It's not hard to pick that up even in the first third of the book. Well, honestly, even the first tenth of it, when things have gone a little sideways on the ship she's on. So, I think that makes sense. Now, you've talked already about you've gotten to know the recorder and other characters in the book over the last couple of, well, three books that you've written. What's something the main character has taught you over the course of those books that maybe when you sat down to first write, or maybe even between book one and two, that you wouldn't have expected for to happen?
I think that one of the things that she does that I really admire, and I actually try to do, I talk a lot, sometimes without saying anything, but she's really good at waiting and listening.
Yeah, that comes out pretty clearly as well.
And part of that's training, and part of that's the training that she went through as a child. But a lot of it is just her personality. And she's actually fairly patient, probably much more patient than I am. But I think that one of the things that she really is going to wrestle with in Aberration is that she is unaware of some of her own biases. And I think that we all are. And some of that gets peeled away at the end. I think that's something that I've had to go through while I was writing it, realizing what some of my biases were and how to work with that and around it and through it. I don't know. I think that's probably one of the things, but mostly I think just the patience and the listening, which is, I'm really good at talking.
Well, so the follow-up question to this for guests on the show is, what is one thing you learned about yourself while writing the story? I think you've kind of already alluded to it. Can you give me an example of a bias? Are you willing to share one that you've had to confront while dealing with this and writing the story?
Well, I think part of it, and this is, I don't know that I'm going to say this quite right. Or it was in tandem with, not because of the story, but I think that the answer to that is addressing the idea of worthlessness. Because I think that as people, we all have, well, maybe not all of us. I mean, I've met some people that I don't think have this problem. But maybe we all do. Is that little bit of that saying, you're not quite enough. You didn't do it right.
Deep.
And that's something that she wrestles with that I think that a lot of people do. You haven't met those goals. You haven't done well enough. And then stopping and thinking, well, what is my innate worth? What is my God-given value? And that, I think, goes back to the first book. Spoilers! Where one of the characters says, every human in this system is unique. There's only one of you. and all of space and time, whether you believe you're stardust or whether you believe you're creation, there's only one of you. And that matters. And I think that one of the things writing this trilogy has gone through is like making sure that I remember that I have that innate God-given worth, that you do, that every single person who's taking the time out of their day to listen is unique and precious and valuable, no matter where you are, no matter who you are, no matter what mistakes you've made. It doesn't mean that your mistakes are negated, and sometimes there are consequences to them, but it does mean that in those moments where like imposter syndrome strikes, or in those moments where, because imposter syndrome doesn't just apply to writers or artists or anything,
it applies to podcasters,
you know, at all. It applies to people, you know, going to a new class at, you know, starting a degree in economics, walking in and thinking, I'm not as good at math as some of these people are. Would you go to as a mom, you take your kids to a new playgroup and you look around, you're like, wow, those moms, they have their nails done. They did their hair this morning. It goes across anything. And whether it's going into a new work environment or whatever, that little voice that says, yeah, but. And how much of that voice needs to be allowed to, I mean, some of it might be true. I mean, you can sit down, you can evaluate it. But at the same time, taking that and remembering there's only one of you. Your situation, your story, your past has created something that will be able to reach somebody else. And it might be the only lifeline they get. So you're valuable. And I think that's some of the things that like, and this is one of the things that you have to go over your whole life. You're like, no. Okay. Deep breath, recenter. You know, what does God say about me? What is my place in society? And it might be small, but that doesn't mean you can't make a difference. And that doesn't mean that the lies from your past are actually true. You can accept the truth and go on from there.
I think accepting our uniqueness, even as we accept that we're part of the greater whole, I think is, I mean, that really dumbed down what you just said very beautifully, but.
I think it's
important.
That kind of summary is important. You see, people like listen to me, they're like, their eyes glaze over. They're like, is she done yet? And you're like, that's not true. You state it outright. And they're like, oh, yeah, that. See, it's important.
Well, I'm here to help. So we kind of already talked about, you know, kind of you tend to follow your characters as they show up on the page. And so my question here is, did the process for the second, and then I guess now even the third book, was it different than that first one? Because if I remember right, your first book, you rewrote several times.
Oh, yes.
Somewhere like in the teens or something, right?
I think I turned in draft 20 or 21.
How did writing books 2 and 3 based on that differ from writing book 1, which was obviously a more deliberate effort?
Book 1, as I told you, I would sit up at night and thumb tap it on my Kindle and email it to myself and then edit it at the library on my lunch breaks or my breaks. Book 2, I had a computer. It's fancy stuff, I'm telling you. But the thing that was hard, it's book 3 is very different from book 2. I'm beginning to see what people say when they say every book is its own beast, every book is its own child, whichever way you want to put it. Book 2 was hard. It was very hard. Book 3 was even harder. I in the process of writing the third one. So this is kind of, I learned a little bit of this writing the second one, but it was just driven home by the third one, that I don't write well to outlines. I have tried plotting. I have tried. When I'm writing it, I'm like, oh, wait, look, there's the pinch point. All right, on time. And it's fine. And I was messaging one of my friends. She's like, how did you do that? I'm like, no, it's just, it's right there. It's like, oh, yeah, well, that was obviously the pinch point. I thought that was going to be the pinch point, but no, this was. So I've already internalized a lot of story structure and how it works. So as I'm writing, if I let my people move and breathe, the story gets better. And so it's very hard to write that on a timeline.
Yeah, I believe that.
So it's, I can't just let them move and breathe and then go back and cycle through. Because I also, they always say, don't edit as you go. I can't not edit as I go. Because I don't have a plot. If I come across something and I'm like, oh, wait, no, I have to go back there and fix it. If I don't redo it right then, I'm going to forget.
Yeah.
Guarantee. You've heard me already. I don't have any coffee. So with the, when I was writing, I knew where I wanted book two, Aberration, to start, and I didn't like it. It made me unhappy because bad things had happened to people X. So I don't know if I could give you a spoiler or not. You can decide whether to take this out. So I'm driving to work and I was stumped on book two because I started it before I got the contract for this, for the trilogy. And I was stumped and I couldn't figure out where to go. And I was driving to work and all of a sudden the sentence popped into my head and I like grabbed my purse and I'm like, I've told people this story and they always like cringe. I grabbed my purse and I got a pen, the first pen I could find. I grabbed it out and I'm like at a stoplight and I'm writing in block letters on my left arm at the stoplight.
That's great.
And I get to work and I walk in and they're like, why does it say need help with the bodies on your arm?
That's amazing.
And so that was a Saturday. The next day, I was supposed to work in a nursery at church and I wore long sleeves, even though it was July, because I had a feeling that if someone came in to give me their 2 month old and it said, need help with the bodies.
Is that a cry for help?
haven't eaten 3 days, need help with the body. Haven't eaten 3 days. That changed slightly, but
Great.
But as soon as I had that sentence, I knew the three people that showed up in chapter one. Yeah. They just popped into my head. I knew their personalities. I knew what they looked like, all the things. And then I could write it.
Yeah.
I did. There's a character that shows up, I think, in chapter 11 or 12 of Aberration. But the thing is, as soon as that character showed up, he shows up in Recorder. As soon as he shows up in Recorder, I knew what was going to happen in Aberration.
Yeah.
As soon as he walked in the door and I saw his eyes, I knew what was going to happen to him. So the hard thing with that, it was like planting. Can I say that? You know, not plotting. No, I
think that's true.
Not plotting.
You're a hybrid.
Planting my way through because I knew where it was going. It's not as fun as when the characters just start misbehaving. Around the midpoint of Aberration, a character shows up and I'm like, it was funny. It was so funny. My husband walks in the room. I'm sitting on the bed typing away. And he opens the room and I'm sitting there and I'm talking to the computer as I'm typing. What are you doing here? You're not supposed to be here. My husband stops at the door and he looks at me, but I'm like only catching this out of the corner of my eye. And I'm, put that down. No, don't touch. Why are you touching that? And I'm continuing to type and the character's continuing to act. And I'm using finger typing motions as I'm saying this.
Yeah.
And I'm like, stop, put that down. Don't touch. I told you, get out now. Why aren't you listening to me? And my husband, his eyebrows just went way up and he slowly closed the door and left the room.
He hasn't got used to it yet.
But yeah, so those moments were farther between with Aberration. And they were even farther between with the third book until I finally said, you know what, just just write it. Just pull that out and write it. Yeah. And then I'm like, I can't have you guys going off script. I have like only 15,000 words left. There's no going off script anymore. And they went off script. And I'm like, I did not expect that ending at all. But I think it works. Now everybody's going to be like, oh my word, that book's going to be a mess. I'm not going to read it.
No, that's anyone who's done this for a while knows that makes good story. I mean, I've talked with, obviously, I mean, I don't even know how many authors I've talked with in the course of this podcast. I used to have a running tally and now I don't, cause I've had several repeat guests like yourself. But it's well over 70 people who have been on the show and, over the course of a little over 100 episodes. And, the people who are true planners don't understand pantsers, and the people who are pantsers don't really understand plotters, and nary the two shall meet. Like, it's really difficult for people to become something they're not if that's the way that they write.
But I do think though that this is me playing the justification game. I don't know. But I do think that in a way they're misnomers because I think that plotters do their pantsing when they're outlining.
Yeah, that's true. I like that.
And pantsers do their plotting when they go through and they like whip the draft into order and edits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's just, you could say that I have a 130,000 word outline that now has to be whipped into shape.
Yeah.
But that would scare anybody away. So, and it probably won't be that long once the editors go through and they're like, you don't need that phrase. And I'm like, no, I really didn't. Sorry. Should have seen that. I think my characters do help me write the story. They frequently have better ideas than I do. Like when that one character came in and I'm like, stop, put that down. You're not supposed to be in the scene. Why are you here? Mm-hmm. And then I went over and like, that's so much better than what I would have thought. Yeah,
and yet you did think it. Like it did come from your brain. Like it's kind of interesting how the creative mind works. You know, it's almost out of body. But it's still your brain.
Yeah, it is. It's still my brain, but it's like if I had sat down and planned it,
right,
I would not have planned that.
Yeah.
But allowing, and when I talked to somebody once and he's like, that's just because you know your character so well, you know how they'd react. I play little games with myself, like, what kind of dog would so-and-so have? Mm. Well, they don't have dogs. I mean, there are some cats there, but that's for another reason. That's not because everybody has pets. You know, they don't have dogs on the ship. But what kind of dog would so-and-so have? I'm like, oh, well, I'm pretty sure that Alec would have, he'd have a golden, he'd have a golden retriever. And Jen would just go to the pound and pick the ugliest dog that she could and take care of it and think it was beautiful. And everybody be like, ooh, you know, so it's just, I go through and I play with things like that. And so the characters become very real. And so when they make choices that I wouldn't necessarily have predicted, it really is just that internalized knowledge of that person acting out in a way that makes sense for them.
Kathy, we could talk forever. This is
probably
great.
Could.
This is good. But I have kept you.
Yes.
Significantly past the time that I promised you I would keep you. And so, Kathy, what's next for you?
Well, I will say right really quick. I think I've alluded to before. I did not expect book depression to hit. So I went and I played inside stories that have nothing to do with science fiction. And that kind of helped reset. But I did just turn in the edits for a piece of flash fiction called titled Inversion that's based in the Recorder's world. If you've read Recorder or Aberration, you will recognize the character by the end of the story, maybe, hopefully. But that does also have it. It was really fun to write because in a way it'll give you a sneak peek into book three.
Ooh, neat.
There is another anthology I might or might not be in. Oddly enough, it is coffee themed. So if it goes forward, I will definitely let you know.
Sounds great.
And that also will be in the Recorder's World. But for right now, I'm just kind of playing sometimes with her stories, the Recorder's World stories, and sometimes with miscellaneous brain children that have yet to fall in line.
And shame on me for not congratulating you on your nomination. And I know I've said it over email, but not on the air. Congratulations on your nomination.
Thank you. That was really an honor.
It's a lot of, people are recognizing you for being an author that you are. So,
well, thank you. It was an honor to be, a finalist. I think it was debut and in speculative.
It was, yeah.
So, that was, I think I bawled when I found out, but that was amazing. Thank you very much.
Yeah, no problem.
So the anthology is going to be put out by Havoc Publishing. Okay. It's a flash fiction anthology, and I forgot when it's coming out. I think it's coming out this summer.
Cool. We'll be on the lookout.
Yeah.
So, Kathy, how can people find out more about you?
I do have a website. I am trying to figure out how to do a newsletter. Yes, I'm late with this.
It's so hard.
But oh my word, it is. On the bright side, as soon as I do have a newsletter, I have 3 stories that I can put out. So newsletter people will get Recorder stories if they want them. But again, I have to figure that out. I figured I would have time after I turned in book 3 to work on that. I'm on Facebook, and I'm on Instagram. Instagram is Kathy McCrum Author. I'm on there more frequently, probably, but all of my social media was severely neglected as I binge wrote for up to 18 hours a day.
Wow.
Yeah, that I don't recommend it.
That is binging for sure.
That was, my family's like, are you done yet? I'm all, not yet. And they're like, are you sure you're not done yet? I'm all, no, not yet. But yeah, probably the best place right now, the place I have the most recent information is probably Instagram.
And I'll link to it in the show notes. So folks, go do that. Kathy, thank you so much for joining me today. It's been a real honor to have you back on the show.
Oh, it's actually my honor to be back. And I really appreciate the invitation. It's been fun.
Standing invitation, anytime. Come
Thank
back.
You.
Yeah. Folks, go out and get a hold of Kathy's books. The links for both of them, they're both in there, both The Recorder and Aberration. They're both in there. Honestly, get them both because you'll want to just roll right into the next one. And then check back often with Coffee and Space. I'll do whatever amount of begging I need to do with the publicist and Kathy in order to get her back on the show when it's time for book 3. But definitely get a hold of those books and then go to the Instagram and start learning a little bit more about Kathy. I think you're going to like her a lot. And hopefully you've gotten to get to know her a little bit through this episode. Join me on the next episode as we talk to another author about the science fiction characters we love and the journeys they take.